Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rav Ram Golder, and today we're Masechta Sukkah Daf Chavchei, the second parak Hayashin Tachas Amita. So the Tidaps are going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah states Shulchei Mitzvah Patrim in a Sukkah. Those on a mission to do a mitzvah are patur from the mitzvah of Sukkah. Rashi brings the examples of one who's traveling in order to learn Torah, greet his Rebbe, or to redeem Jewish captives. The Gemara asks for the source of this principle and brings a brace regarding Kriyashma that states V'shivdecha b'beisecha, during your sitting in your home. This excludes one who's occupied with doing a different mitzvah, who's patur from kriyashma, and during your going on the way, this excludes a chassan who's preoccupied with the thought pertaining to his performance of a mitzvah. The Braisa teaches this applies specifically to one marrying a basula. Now the Gemara asks how the pasuk implies that a osik b'mitzvah patur min hasukkah, and Rav Huna said the pasuk obligates one to recite shema when sitting or going, only when these activities are kederach, are comparable to the way. Just as one takes to the way for discretionary purposes, so too all situations mentioned in the pasuk refer to those involved in a discretionary act, or rishus, which comes to exclude this person involved in a mitzvah. Pointing to the word questions the need to derive ha'osik b'mitzvah patamina mitzvah from kriyashma, since it can be learned from the parsha Pesach Sheni, for Rosana Bryce and Rabbi Yitzchak argued that the ones who were tamei were those involved with the mace mitzvah whose seventh day after becoming tamei fell on Erev Pesach, and they were unable to offer the Pesach on that day. This implies that they would have been able to offer it the next day since their Tahara would have been completed. So we see from here that within 7 days of Pesach, the people were allowed to attend to a mace mitzvah, even though that would preclude the performance of a second, more significant mitzvah, that being the Karban Pesach. The Gemara answers that both sources are necessary. If the Torah only taught the principle from Pesach Sheni, one might have thought Mishum de Lamatz Man Chiyub de Pesach. It's permissible because the Chiyub the Karban Pesach had not arrived yet when they did the mitzvah of Mace Mitzvah. But here, regarding the time of Kriyashma, when the time of the mitzvah has arrived, one could say there is no exemption. And if it had been learned from Kriyashma, one might have thought it's because there's no Sakaris for failure to perform the second mitzvah. Whereas in this case of the Pesach, when there isn't a Sakaris, one would not be Pater. And pointing me through here, Rabbi Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Avel Chai B'Sukkah, a mourner is Chai in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now one might have thought that since Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Mitzdar Pater Min HaSukkah, one who experiences distress is Pater from Sukkah, so to a mourner. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda is coming to teach, Hani Mili Tzar De Mamela. This applies only when the distress is inherent in the Sukkah. But here, Ihu de Kamitzdar Nafshe, it is he who's causing distress by dwelling on his loss. He's required to calm his mind from his grief and enable himself to perform the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Shulchei mitzvah patrim in a sukkah. Those on a mission to do a mitzvah are patur from the mitzvah of a sukkah. Rashi brings the examples of one who's traveling in order to learn Torah, greet his Rebbe, or to redeem Jewish captives. The Gemara asks for the source of this principle and brings a braisa regarding Kriyashma that states, V'shivdecha b'veisecha, during your sitting in your home, pratla osik b'mitzvah. This excludes one who's occupied with doing a different mitzvah, who's patur from Kriyashma. Uvlechtecha v'derech, and during your going on the way, pratla chasen. This excludes a chasen who's preoccupied with the thought pertaining to his performance of a mitzvah. The braisa teaches this applies specifically to one marrying a basua. Now the Gemara asks how the pasuk implies that osik b'mitzvah patur min hamitzvah. And Rav Huna said the pasuk obligates one to recite shema when sitting or going, only when these activities are kederech, are comparable to the way. Ma derech rishus av kol rishus, afuki hayde b'mitzvah asuk. Just as one takes to the way for discretionary purposes, so to all situations mentioned the pasuk refer to those involved in a discretionary act, which comes to exclude this person involved in a mitzvah. Pointing me to the more questions that need to derive a osik b'mitzvah patamina mitzvah from Kriyashma, since it can be learned from the parsha of Pesach Sheni. For it was taught in the Braisa that Rabbi Yitzchak argued that the ones who were tamei were those involved with the mace mitzvah whose seventh day after becoming tamei fell on Erev Pesach. V'yachu lasos a Pesach b'yomahu, and they were unable to offer the Pesach on that day. This implies that they would have been able to offer it the next day since their tahara would have been completed. So we see from here that within 7 days of Pesach, the people were allowed to attend to a mace mitzvah, even though that would preclude the performance of a second, more significant mitzvah, that being the Karban Pesach. The Gemara answers that both sources are necessary. If the Torah had only taught the principle from Pesach Sheni, one might have thought Mishum de Matav Zman Chiyuv de Pesach. It's permissible because the Chiyuv of the Karban Pesach had not arrived yet when they did the mitzvah, mace mitzvah. But here, regarding the time of Kriyashma, when the time of the mitzvah has arrived, one could say there's no exemption. And if it had been learned from Kriyashma, one might have thought it's because there's no Issacharis for failure to perform the second mitzvah, whereas in the case of the Pesach, when there is an Issacharis, one would not be pater. And point number three, Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Avel Chai B'Sukkah, a mourner is Chai in the mitzvah of Sukkah. One might have thought that since Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Mitzdar Pater Min HaSukkah, one who experiences distress is pater from Sukkah, so to a mourner. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda is coming to teach, Hani Mili Tzar Dema Mela. This applies only when the distress is inherent in the sukkah. But here, Iudaka Mitzdar Nafshe, it is he who is causing distress by dwelling on his loss. Iboyle Yusuvidaite. He's required to calm his mind from his grief and enable himself to perform the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. All right, so now we go to Simper Daf Chav Hey, and our standard simon is a silver anniversary, a 25th anniversary. So here goes. The husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah and then a mace mitzvah couldn't stop feeling like a mourner as he sat alone in the sukkah the rest of the night. Once again, in slow motion. The husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner, silver anniversary, that must be more daf chaf hey. The husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shulchei mitzvah between men a sukkah, those on a mitzvah mission are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara brings the pasuk from Kriyashma, V'shivdecha b'beisecha v'lechtecha b'derech, and Rav Huna said the pasuk obligates one to recite Shema when sitting or going, only when these activities are k'derech, comparable to the way. Maderech rishus, of korishus, v'fukihai de b'mitzvah asuk, just as one takes to the way for discretionary purposes, so to all situations mentioned in the pasuk, refer to those involved in a discretionary act, which comes to exclude this person involved in the mitzvah. So, the husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah, and then a mace mitzvah, which reminds Gemara brings another source for osik b'mitzvah, patamina mitzvah, from Pesach Sheni, with those that were tummy from being osik in a mace mitzvah, and teaches why both sources are necessary. If the Torah had only taught the principle from Pesach Sheni, one might have thought, mishum de lamatas man chiyuv de Pesach. It's permissible because the chiyuv of the garment Pesach had not arrived yet when they did the mitzvah of mace mitzvah. But here, regarding the time of Kriyashma, when the time of the mitzvah has arrived, one could say there's no exemption. And if it had been learned from Kriyashma, one might have thought it's because there's no Issacharis for failure to perform the second mitzvah. Whereas in the case of the Pesach, when there is an Issacharis, one would not be pater. So the husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah and then a mace mitzvah couldn't stop feeling like a mourner as he sat alone in the sukkah the rest of the night. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Avel Chai B'Sukkah, a mourner is Chai in the mitzvah of sukkah. And one might have thought that since Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said in the name of Rav, Matzdar Patamina Sukkah, one who experiences distress is pater from sukkah, so to a mourner. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda is coming to teach Hani Mili Tzar de Mamela. This implies only when the distress is inherent in the sukkah. But here, Ihu Dekab Mitzdar Nafshe, it's he who's causing distress by dwelling on his loss. Iboilu Suvi Daiti, he's required to calm his mind from his grief and enable himself to perform the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. So once again, the husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah and then a mace mitzvah couldn't stop feeling like a mourner as he sat alone in the sukkah the rest of the night. All right, now we go to our four-block back chazara. Dav Chafalov, so the simmer Dav Chafalov is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. The kids in the ka, ka, that must be one Dav Chafalov. The kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, which reminds Rabbi Yehuda learns that kol ohel she'eino asu b'idei adam eina ohel, any ohel that's not made by man is not an ohel with regard to tumah, from a gezer shava based on the word ohel, just as the ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an ohel made by man, so to here in the case of tumah, the term ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan dispute Rabbi Yehuda and rule that even a naturally formed ohel, such as one burrowed by a weasel, transmit tumah. They learn it from the repetitive expressions of ohel, ohel, written in the context of tumah, that it comes to include the law of tumah even by a naturally formed ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream. Which reminds us, the Gemara questions whether Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that ko ohel she'eino asu b'idei adam eino ohel, citing a mishum from Parah about the children raised in purity, so they eventually could draw water for the ikon involved in the paraduma. The Tanakhama holds they rode on top of doors that were on top of oxen as they went down to the stream so they could not become tamim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, lo hayu mevi'in dulasos el shvarim. They would not bring down doors, but rather wide-bellied oxen. It was these oxen that children delivered the children from any tumors. We see from here that Rav Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Elazar, Mod Rav Yehuda kamaya egrov. Rav Yehuda agrees in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is large as a fist, that it is deemed an ohel. So the kids in the Ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw a wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual. Which reminds the Gemara asks, Menayin Shafil Sichas Talmid Chachamim Sricha Limud? From where do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmid Chachamim requires study? For it is stated, Va'alehu lo yibo, and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmid Chachamim's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. Dav Chabbeis, so the Simmer Dav Chabbeis is a cab. So here goes. When the cab, that must be more Dav Chabbeis. When the cab crashed into the Sukkah Meduvlelis with a staggered schach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Sukkah Meduvlelis v'shesilas merubah mechamasa kasher sukkah, that is Meduvlelis and whose shade exceeds its light, is kosher. Rav said that it's a sukkah aniyah. It means a meager sukkah, one that's covered with a thin layer of schach, with many gaps between the various reeds, but no gap is three tefachim wide. Shmuel said the Mishnah refers to a sukkah whose schach is arranged so that one reed is up and one reed is down, and because of this arrangement, the sukkah is more sunlit than shaded. The Mishnah is coming to teach that the sukkah is nonetheless kosher, since the sukkah would be more shaded than sunlit if all the schach were on the same level. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah Meduvlelis with the staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, which reminds us. Regarding Shmuel's understanding that the sukkah Meduvlelis is a sukkah with staggered schach, Abai said that the sukkah is only kosher when there isn't a gap of three tefachim between the upper and lower schach. But if there's a gap of three tefachim, the sukkah is puzzle, for the two levels of schach cannot be viewed as joined together. Rava said that three tefachim open space is kosher if the reeds of the upper level are tefach wide, damrin chaburami. For then we say, lower and cast the upper reed upon the space below. Rava asserts that the chavur only applies if the covering is at least a tefach wide, in which case the covering is wide enough to constitute an ohel in its own right. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah Meduvlelis with the staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, making the sukkah dark like a house. Which reminds us that the Mishnah stated, Mu'uba kamin bayis, afu pishena kochavim niri mitocha, kasher a sukkah that is thickly covered like a house, even though the stars cannot be seen from inside it, is kosher. But it was taught in a braisa, if the schach is so thick that even the rays of the sun cannot be seen from inside the sukkah, Beishamai puzzles the sukkah and Beisil is makshir. Rashi explains that according to Beishamai, a sukkah with such thick schach is not like a sukkah at all. It's rather like a house, which is certainly puzzle for the mitzvah. Dav chav gimel. So the simur chav gimel is kugelach. So here goes. When the kugelach championship, that must be one Dav chav gimel. When the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, which reminds the Gemara says the tongue of the Mishnah that a sukkah on top of an agala or sfinas kosher is Rabbi Akiva, who argues with Rabbi Gamliel. A brisa relates Rabbi Akiva built a sukkah on a ship and the next day it blew over and Rabbi Gamliel asked him rhetorically, Akiva, where's your sukkah now? Abai said that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva disagree where it's possible for the sukkah to withstand a usual land wind, but cannot withstand an unusual land wind, which Rashi says is the equivalent of a usual sea wind. Rav Gamliel holds sukkah's dearest keva be'inan. A sukkah needs to be a fixed dwelling and must be able to withstand a normal sea wind. Rabbi Akiva holds that sukkah's dearest arai be'inan, and since it can withstand a normal land wind, it's kosher. So in the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels, which reminds the Gemara in Arik Dov says that the Tana of the Mishnah that states that a sukkah on top of a camel is kosher is Rabbi Meir, who argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we derive from Chag HaSukkos Tatzel HaShivas Yamim, the festival sukkahs you shall make for yourself for 7 days, sukkah Rui Goshiva Shma Sukkah, that a sukkah that is fit for use for all 7 days is deemed a kosher sukkah. But if it cannot be used for all 7 days, it is not deemed a sukkah, since a sukkah on top of an animal may not be used on the first day of sukkahs, which is Yantav, because of the Rabban against mounting an animal on Yantav, it's disqualified from the mitzvah altogether. Reb Meir holds the sukkah is fit with the rice for all 7 days, and it's only the Rabbanan that decreed against it. So in the Kugelach championship taking place on the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels to a sukkah that had a dead animal held up by cords as one of its walls. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a braisa in which Reb Meir rules that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. The Gemara asks what Reb Meir's reason is, and Abai said Shema Tamuz, and Rabbi Zera said Shema Tibrach, maybe it'll run away. The Gemara asks, according to Abai, what concern is there that the animal might die if it's held up by cords from above, preventing it from collapsing? The Gemara answers that there are times that one stands an animal so that its top reaches to less than 3 tefachim from the schach in a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high, and once it dines, it shrinks slightly so the top is 3 tefachim or more from the schach, and it will not be on his mind to repair the defective wall since it's not noticeably defective. Daf Chav Dalet, the symbol Chav Dalet is a pitcher. So here goes. When the inflatable pitcher of air, pitcher, that must be more on Daf Chav Dalet. When the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, which reminds us on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, a brice was brought that taught the Rebbe Meir holds that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. After Abayin Rebbe Zera's explanations for Rebbe Meir are disproved, the Gemara presents Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's pshat. The Rebbe Meir holds kol mechitza shomeres baruch in a mechitza. Any mechitza that stands erect because of breath is not a kosher mechitza. Others say the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said the Rebbe Meir holds any mechitza that's not made by man is not a mechitza. The nafka meaning between the two is where he propped up a wall with a node tapuach, an inflated wineskin. So when the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, popped when the cow with a get ridden all over it bit into it, which reminds us that we learn Rabbi Yosef Guli holds that one may not write a get on an animal. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yosef Guli learns from a kasavla, and one writes for her, that one might write a get on any type of writing surface, not just parchment. The word sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Gemara explains that the Rabban who argue with Rabbi Yosef Guli and hold that one may write a get on an animal learn that the word sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'alma hu da'asa, that a get should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. Rashi explains that the word sefer is not referring to the klaf, the writing surface, but rather the formula of severance that the husband is communicating within the get. Therefore, the Torah is not putting a limitation on any writing surface, and animals can be used as well. So when the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, popped when the cow with a get ridden all over it bit into it, it flew into the tree, serving as walls for the neighbor's sukkah. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, if one makes a sukkah among the trees, with the tree serving as walls for it, it's kosher. The Gemara questions Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who said that any mechitza that cannot withstand a normal wind is not a kosher mechitza. According to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, the sukkah that uses trees as walls should not be kosher since they sway to and fro from the wind. The Gemara defends Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's ruling, clarifying that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the trunk is stiff and the branches do not sway because they are braided with palm branches and bay trees. It's still necessary for the Mishnah to teach that trees may be used as sukkah walls, for one might have thought we should be goes to the trees should be possible as walls, lest one come to use the tree on Yontif. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.